to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to be starting in verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5, 22. This should be familiar to you. We've been here the last couple of weeks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Even as I read these verses, I do not doubt that, like me, you also have different voices that are talking to you in your head. Now, I don't mean that in the mentally incapacitated or mentally like schizophrenic way of voices in your head. I mean it in the way of every one of us has an internal voice that we are constantly processing. In fact, we have several of them. We have different voices that fight for our attention, number one, letter A. Certainly, the voice of our culture is very loud in most of our minds. Our culture changes at a rapid speed, far more quickly than any generation prior. Culture is changing with such speed that it is stunning currently. We often form our cultural views through the media that we choose to digest simply because we're trying to keep up. We're just trying to keep up with what's going on around us, and so we have trusted media sources. I can almost estimate, if you listen to Fox News, that you are probably going to be digesting a perspective, and that is going to form some of your cultural ideas. I also know that if you are processing CNN or MSNBC or whatever else, you are probably processing and receiving a cultural view that is molding what you think, even if you process multiple different variety of inputs. These things all have a way of speaking to us about what is really going on in our culture, and they mold our views. For those that have a relationship with God, a relationship with God, not in a fanciful way, but through faith in Jesus Christ, as the scriptures say, the Holy Spirit is another voice which speaks to our souls. We learn the Spirit's voice through reading the scriptures and responding in prayer. It must begin there. It must always begin with reading the scriptures and prayer. Don't miss that. The Spirit can speak in a variety of ways, but it always begins with scripture and in responsive prayer. The Spirit has provided a voice through the Bible. And as we engage life with genuine dependency on God through prayer, it is an ongoing conversation. It is a relationship. It is not a book that invites you to rules. It is a book that invites you to relationship. As we grow in maturity and depth of relationship with Christ, we are then able to hear the voice of the Spirit through other Christians. This is not where it begins. It begins in the Scriptures, and it begins with prayer. But as you mature further down the road, you will even be able to hear the Spirit speak through the people that are around you, fellow Christians. You'll begin to hear the Spirit speak through significant life circumstances. Eventually, there will not be an event or a moment that goes by that you are not able to hear what the Spirit is trying to speak to you. Things that were benign life events, things that you just said, I'm just living life trying to be obedient to God. And these things, these seemingly inconsequential things, will begin to speak because you are so engaged and so accustomed to listening to the Spirit's voice. You will realize, man, the Spirit is speaking in so many, many ways. Of course, there's the obvious, probably one of the most significant voices that we listen to, and it's your own voice. This is the voice of reason, or perhaps insanity, of response, or maybe addiction. It's the voice that filters other voices, and it's the voice that responds. It's the thing in your head that is listening to all these voices and going, nope, not going to listen to that. Yep, going to listen to that. Nope, going to, yeah, this is what I've learned. It's kind of the what the Bible calls your mind or your soul. This is the internal part of who we are. It's the part of us that responds. From your own soul, this voice speaks your life into responses which lead to actions and behaviors that are reflective of who you are and what you believe. It's reflective of your being. It's the old saying, don't show me what you believe by what you say. Show me by what you do. It's that voice that is a responding voice. I think these are the three primary voices that we are facing. Some of us face other things because of insanity, because of addiction, and those are probably unique to individuals. All of us come from a background where that voice of culture can really be damaged and broken. Those of us that came from a culture with parents that were abusive are going to really fight that cultural voice and the way that we understand it. Those that come from parents that were passive are going to really fight the way that they engage these voices in their heads. The parents that are aggressive, again, you see what I'm saying? There are tons of life circumstances that affect these things. The Holy Spirit says that He is overriding the voice of our culture and overriding the voice of our past and all these other things. He's overriding these things so that we would be trained by the Word of God and prayer through fellowship with other Christians and through life circumstances. We are being trained how to understand, hear, and listen to the voice of God on a regular basis to where the Bible says our identity is actually knit to the Spirit of God, to where we process and think and see life differently because of it. I'm not talking about all this for frivolous reasons. This is what the Apostle Paul has been speaking to throughout the whole of the book of Ephesians. Think of it. He's already implored the Ephesians to grow into the fullness of their identity in Christ. Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. Power in your inner being in verse 16. To know the love that surpasses all understanding. To be filled to the fullness of God, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is called on the Ephesians to turn away from their sinful instincts. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is who you used to be. You used to be addicted to these sinful instincts. But God, who is rich in mercy, has stepped into your life and changed, essentially changed who you are. The voice of the Spirit that you could not possibly hear, you might have even thought was ridiculous, now speaks. Reject that old thinking. Do not walk in the way of the Gentiles. Do not walk in a way of sin, but rather walk as a new self, a new creation. Be renewed, the Scriptures say, in the spirit of your minds. Romans 12, 2 also, Paul says this, to be transformed by what? By the renewing of our minds. It's the inner being that is being renewed by the Word of God through prayer, through our experience. All of these things are renewing the spirit of our minds as we become a brand new creation of God. Are you convinced of this? That this is where the power struggle exists for believers? Because this is what Paul believed. He's going to just in a crescendo end on spiritual warfare and talk about the way that we engage the spiritual warfare that is going on around us. But he has been laying this foundation throughout the entire book. He has been speaking to what is going on in our minds, in our souls, and the way that the Spirit of God is stepping into those things and renewing who we are. Letter E is an absolute hinge pin for who we are in Christ. If Christ's people will not live sold out for the purposes of the gospel, that is redemption, the story of God from Genesis through Revelation, in their own lives, how will those outside the church ever know the power of Christ? How will it happen if it does not happen in you and in me and in us? The culture in which we live screams answers to life's hardest questions. It is screaming them in our faces. But those answers lead to slavery and death. They never lead to the things that actually will provide freedom. Some of us buy them, though. Some of us try to take a thimbleful of Jesus and a thimbleful of culture and a thimbleful of our past and a thimbleful of this and that, and we mix it all together and we whip it into a nice little pie for us to eat in life. And it ends up leading to death. It ends up leading to slavery. For some of us who have found victory over certain things, we just find ourselves enslaved to new things. See, the church exists in the world. It exists in the universe. It exists to express the manifold wisdom of God into the heavenly places where powers and principalities that are dark would witness what God is doing through those of us in the church. The church is in the world to seek and save the lost by living spiritually submitted lives to each other in Christ. This is spiritual victory. And my question for you this morning is, do you believe that? I mean, I know that you probably, if you're coming to church on a Sunday, and a lot of you I know and recognize, I know that you cognitively believe it. Do you believe it in your soul? Is this process happening in your life? As those freed by the blood of Christ, our lives of mutual submission to one another serve as a countercultural rescue mission for a world which cannot yet hear the Spirit's voice. When we live convinced that God's ways are best for us and for the culture around us, and that our lives in Christ's church are the hope for ourselves and for the culture, we will live out God's design, no matter the cost. I'm pleading with you this morning. Listen to Christ's voice. There are very few places in Scripture that are more countercultural than chapter 5 of Ephesians, starting in verse 22 and working its way all the way through chapter 6, verse 9. I read the section that I'm concentrating on this morning and next week, verses 22 to 33, that are specifically about marriage. I want to pause here before I hit this next section, submitting wives, one quarter, sacrificial husbands, three quarters. That just references the in this section how much this section is directed to wives. About a quarter of it is directed to the wife, and three quarters of it is directed to the husband. Husbands, don't take next week off. Please come back. I'll have much to say about the three quarters. This morning, I'm going to concentrate on the one quarter. I also want to say that if you are single, because I really want to value that, and I've really called on those of you that are single to consider your devotion to Jesus Christ, your undistracted devotion to Jesus Christ, and what a noble and righteous thing that is in Scripture, I do want to call on you this morning. Oftentimes I've heard it said, in fact I was told this when I was a single man, that if I really wanted to find somebody that would be a wonderful match for me, I should find like a Proverbs, they call it Proverbs 31 woman, or a woman that would submit in the way that Scripture speaks to. And so I'd look for a woman that within the groups that I was in that had this kind of a submissive spirit. And so I just want to be specific. Gentlemen, if you are seeking a wife in this world, do not look for a woman that will submit to you or submit to the other men that are around her. Look for a woman that will submit to Christ in this way. Ladies, if you are looking for a man in your life, do not look for a man that will lead you or leads others around you. Look for a man that leads in such a way that is sacrificial, as it speaks to in this passage, sacrificial in the way of Christ. We often make the object of these things each other instead of keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. We make this mistake while we're dating. And then we get married, and what do we think to ourselves? Why won't this man lead? I never saw this coming. Why is he so passive? And husbands, since I am one, what do we think? Why won't she submit? I do all this stuff for her, and she just won't submit to me. What is wrong with that woman? She must be ungodly. Perhaps we were just looking at how we treat each other at the beginning instead of seeing how we treat Jesus. And so I call on you that are single and looking for someone that you are going to spend the rest of your human life with. Could I call on you to measure them by Christ, not by yourself? That'll come, but only if he or she lives a life that is submitted to Jesus. Wives, I'm going to speak directly to you. Husbands, listen carefully. Your Sunday is coming. Wives are to submit to their husbands as a proper reflection or honoring. The word that is used is actually reverence. A reverence of the hierarchical headship. Hierarchy, right? Something is leading, something else is following. That's a hierarchy. We understand this easily in a home. Parents are hierarchical leaders over their children. We'll address that in a couple of weeks. It's a hierarchy. It's a natural ordering of things. Most of us work for bosses. That's a hierarchy. That's what I'm speaking to. There's a hierarchical headship structure that exists in Christ as the head of the church. And it is properly reflected when one submits to the one that is hierarchical over them. Wives are to submit to their husbands as a proper reflection, an honoring, a reverencing of this hierarchical headship that ultimately is exampled in Christ in the church. But because of sin, Genesis 3:16, it says that the man will rule over the woman. This was part of the judgment that God speaks out to the woman. And he says to her, your desire will be for him, and he is going to rule over you. He will rule over you. In other words, submission is not natural for a wife. She has been created to naturally, automatically, out of the flow of the way that God has ordered things, naturally recognize these things. But because of sin, original sin and the fallenness of mankind, this decision is not natural for a wife. Now, I don't think I have to explain this to the women, but I do want you guys to hear that. The text makes clear that wives must make a conscious and responsive choice to be submissive. That is not a one-time choice, by the way. That is an ongoing choice. It's a choice that is necessary often. Oh, those are the difficult ones, aren't they? Paul, letter B, calls everyone in the church to submit, to be subordinate, to order themselves under, to obey, literally, one another, out of a respect, reverence for Christ. It reveals the mysteries of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in and through the church, and now it's being manifest where? In the family. Just as Christ submits to God. Did you hear that? If you're unclear on this, it's in several locations, but probably most clearly in 1 Corinthians 15:28, where it says that Christ is subjected, submitted, subordinate, obeys the voice of God, that Jesus Christ himself is part of a hierarchical structure. He is subjected to God. It is not a picture of something that we would consider objectionable. It is a beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous example of the way that God, Christ, and Holy Spirit work together. There is a beauty in the way that God has ordered things. It is the gospel. It is expressed in the very order of the way that the creation functions. Just as Christ submits to God and still maintains completely equal value. Does anybody think that Jesus is not of equal value to God? That is not the relationship that exists in the Trinity. There is a hierarchy where one is submitted to the other. The Spirit submitted to both God and Christ. Christ submitted to God, and God as headship over all. But is there any sense of a lack of value of any of those three? Not even a little. Co-equal in value, but subordinate in function. So also, the wife is of equal value and significance in marriage. Galatians 3:28, there's neither male nor female, nor husband nor wife, nor any of these things. This is not the way that God values things, which is what Galatians 3:28 is about. This is about the hierarchy that God has created, the proper way that the gospel is expressed and functions. Think of it. If we as the church do not submit to Christ in all things, the church cannot fulfill her gospel purposes. Ladies, buckle your seatbelts for this next statement. In a similar fashion, without submission to your husband in everything, your marriage will never be able to fulfill the gospel purposes that it has been placed on this planet and located in the church for. Submission is not based on the worthiness of your husband, by the way, whether he is a believer or not. Even if he is not faithful to follow Christ, you are called to submission. This is the proper way that God has ordered things to express the gospel. Submission to Christ and to your husband are inseparably related. When you look at your husband and you have a choice, one of those conscious choices for submission, you can look at him and you can see Christ there, and it's completely valid. And in the same way, as you read the scriptures and you perceive the person of Christ and you think, how do I manifest this self? One of the most practical ways for a woman who is a wife to manifest these things is to respond in her marriage in the way that Christ has called her to. Remarkably, submission to Christ and to your husband are so inseparably related that one cannot exist without the other. To be defiant in your submission to your husband is to be defiant to Christ. To be defiant to Christ on an essential level means that your identity will not be submitted to your husband. Wives, your submission is active worship of God. Please, I appeal to you from the scriptures, worship God for all you are worth. This next paragraph I spent a day on, a whole day on, just writing and rewriting, and even I read it this morning, I'm like, oh, I'm still, it's just not sufficient. I couldn't find all the right language, but I think you will understand what I mean. Disrespect from a wife. And I'm really angling in on verse 33 now. Disrespect from a wife through disgusted looks, harsh words, mistrusting accusations, and dismissive comments are disrespectful to a husband. They're diminishing. A husband who is diminished by his own wife, and I speak to this from my own heart. I've said to you often that I've been married to three different women. The Melinda I got married to, and then she's gone through two like radical spiritual, physical transformations in her life, and so I'm married to the third one, and I don't even know how many. I mean, yeah, I've gone through a bunch, probably two, I hope, anyway. And I speak to this because there was a time when my wife, she's a firecracker. And she, I don't think submission, like I understand this is my home, it doesn't come naturally. She has to choose it. But wives, I want you to hear this, that when a wife diminishes her husband, in the ways that I just listed, and probably a lot of other ways, it devalues him. He thinks, if this woman doesn't value me, nobody will. It emasculates a man. And wives, your husband feels like an embarrassing failure. If you will not follow him, why would the children? Why would anybody? Wives, submit to your husbands. I see this so often. A man who is needled and made ashamed by these things. They're subtle. He becomes hostile and he becomes mean. He fights for a position because he is, well, for a multitude of reasons. I've also seen the absolute worst kind of man, and I will speak to this ad nauseum next week. The man who is disengaged and has become passive because he has given up. Wives, you have a critical role, Scripture says, in this process. This is a growing, maturing process that the man that you married is experiencing and going through. You're watching him learn and grow into what it means to love you and to function as the head of your household, as a spiritual leader, as one who responds in the same way that Christ responds to the church, the same sacrificial manner that Christ serves the church. Wives, do not get in the way of this process. Do not, please, I beg of you, do not depreciate your husbands in Christ. Women, letter E, dignify themselves. You dignify yourself and you dignify Christ. You dignify your husbands when you choose to submit, just as Christ dignifies the Father through his life and work. Willing submission champions Christ in a radical counterculture manner. I mean, this thing from verse 22 on is a manifesto that is so countercultural. Pastor Scott spoke of it this morning. We sung of it this morning. Are we going to live in a countercultural manner that speaks the gospel to the world in such a way that it is so different that it demands to be paid attention to? This is what Jesus has given us in our families. Ladies, will you submit in such a way, in such a countercultural manner, that it actively refuses rulership, control, or domination in marriage? Submission graciously employs actions, words, and patient attitudes which empower and enable a husband to lead. It makes his leadership champion, and it enables it in your homes. Wives, submit to your own husbands in everything as to the Lord. It dignifies you. It dignifies Christ. And it dignifies your husband. Let's pray. God, we come now to respond. We come now to consider. Father, I pray that you would fill our hearts with a great conviction, a great swelling up of our souls that says, I will follow Jesus where he leads, that I will follow the word, that I will feel it in the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you would renew us in our minds, that we would be transformed in the inner being, that God, we would not live according to the instincts or the voices of this culture, the voices that are in our heads that are fearful and are fearful of being dominated. God, the voices in our heads that are crazy wanting to grab hold of the fruit of this world and say, that's what I want to eat. I don't want to be led by God. God, I pray that we would live differently, that we would live the gospel for those that are around us to see, and that we would do so in a way that is dignifying. Dignifying, Father, to the role of a wife. Dignifying to Christ as he is subjected to God in the headship of our universe, in the headship of the church. God, dignified in setting our husbands in the terrifying place of being the head. May the fullness of your gospel speak to us as we respond this morning. God, I cannot move forward without praying deeply for our offering as well. God, please, we depend on you for our provision in our homes. And God, I pray that we would respond to you in not just the singing, not just the desires of our heart, but that your Spirit would speak to us and that we would be active participants in your kingdom. That we would be active participants in all of who we are. We're so blessed to be a part of that. And I pray that blessing over this offering, over our church, over our families. We cannot do this, God. We just cannot do it. We are racked with sin and self-reliance and pride. We pray that those would be crucified this morning. And that we would be filled with Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up.